Bible reading this morning, which is in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired man. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and he's raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
Well, I want to ask you a question. I mean, who in the world knows you better than anyone else? Who in the world knows you better than anyone else? Who, for whom would you lay your life down for? Well, I think for most of us, the answer is our family, right? Now, no family is perfect. I mean, most family have some conflicts and issues going on. That's certainly true of my family. But who is it that the family knows you not quite, no one quite knows you like your family? Right now, I was privileged to grow up in a large family, 5 kids, lots of fun. My bedroom was right at the top of the stairs in our house. And I remember as a kid, I used to have this little game where I'd try to work out exactly who I thought was coming up or down the stairs. So I would know that if someone was kind of bounding up the stairs, I'd kind of skip every second step, doing that kind of thing, getting up as fast as I can. Yep, that would be one of my brothers. If they kind of had a bit of a canter about it and they'd be kind of like, that would be my sister. My dad would be taking a much slower pace and he's kind of got this unique little click in his knee, and so there'd be this kind of click, click every second step coming up and down the stairs. See, no one quite knows you like your family, and you know your family better than anyone else. You live with them, you grew up with them, right? They are your flock. They are the people that you know, that you lived with. Now, some of you are parents now as well. And some of you, there could be a room of 100 babies, different ones kind of crying at different stages. And you'd be able to pick out exactly which one was your baby. When your baby's crying, you know it. Is that right? Is that right, parents? Yeah. So your family is like a flock. And your parents were your shepherds growing up, and perhaps you yourself have become a shepherd now, having your own kids. Now we're looking at this passage where Jesus continues this analogy about his flock. And he talks about himself as a shepherd who knows his flock, who loves his flock, who would lay down his life for his flock. So we're going to be continuing on. Last week we looked at where Jesus talked about himself as the gate. We're kind of within the same metaphor, then goes on to say, well, I am the good shepherd. So if you've got your Bibles there open with you, read on with me from verse 11. Read on with me, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Right, so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life. On the other hand, there's the contrast. The hired hand does not lay down his life. He runs for the hills when the wolf turns up. I wonder how many of you would die for your job. How many of you would die for your job? Let's say just a theoretical for our lovely employees at KFC. I know we've got a few there, you know, some of our young adults getting in there. And a guy comes up and he pulls a knife on you and says, hand over the till, give us everything you got. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? No, good up my loins. Okay, I'm going to grab that knife. I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to protect my fried chicken. Is that what you're going to do? No, I don't think so. No tip for the young guys. That someone comes at you at KFC threatening you with a knife, hand over the till, give them fries if they want fries with that. You're not going to stand there. You don't want your gravestone to say, he gave his life protecting fried chicken, right? You're not going to do that. You're just not. Now substitute that situation now. Guy pulls a knife and it's your spouse or it's your kid or your sibling. What are you going to do? Now you're going to get ready to fight, aren't you? You're going to protect them, right? See, one was a job. KFC, you're just working there. You're just the guy serving up fried chicken. But when it's your family, well, that's your calling to guard and protect them. You would lay down your life in that moment. You know, I remember a time at we were walking through Coles with my wife, who was heavily pregnant at the time. And a very impatient man bumped into her with a trolley. Now you would think that he would apologize and go around, but no, this guy actually got really angry that my heavily 30-something week pregnant wife was in his way. In fact, he actually got so angry he threatened to bowl her over with the trolley. Now I'm not a violent man, I've never been in, you know, proper fisticuffs with someone, but I tell you, at that very moment, I was ready to grab that trolley. I would have gotten into a fight if it required it. You see, that's kind of what Jesus is saying right here. Shepherding his flock for him, that's not just a job for him. That's not something just turns up because someone paid him to be there. He's saying, no, this is his role. This is his calling. He is there. He will protect his flock. In fact, he lays down his life for his flock. And you know how this gospel story ends. Jesus does exactly that he goes to the cross. He goes to the cross. He faces his enemies, the enemy's sin and Satan. He faces death itself. He faces the wrath of God. He takes it upon himself in our place to save the flock. Now, I think there's a bit of an irony with that as well, because normally when the shepherd dies, the sheep die too. But of course, what does Jesus say? Well, no, his life is raised up again. He, in his death, he actually gives life to his flock. You see, for Jesus, this isn't just a job. It's not like the kind of James Bond Mission Impossible movie where the hero saves the day and he rides off into the sunset. No, for Jesus, he's not the hero who rides off into the sunset. He stays and he guards and he protects and he guides his flock. He continues to care for them. See, read on with me, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. In fact, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, we're going to come back to this idea that Jesus really knows his sheep, right? Really knows, as well as his Father knows him, he knows his sheep. Now, we're going to come back to that idea, but you notice in the second half of that passage there that Jesus talks about the fact that there's other flock that are his. See, at this point in time in John's gospel, Jesus' flock are all Jewish. They're his disciples, Jewish disciples. He's saying, no, there's actually more beyond that, and I'm going to call people from every nation on earth to be part of my flock. There's going to be one giant flock, and I am going to be the chief shepherd. Now, some of the people listening there, or as those reading along might know, you might go, well, did Jesus really willingly give his life? I mean, it kind of looked like the Romans and the Jews grabbed him and put him on that cross. Well, Jesus comes back and he says, well, yes, from a human perspective, that's true. But in God's perspective, well, have a read with me, verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You see, with the whole laying down of his life, Jesus wasn't blindsided by the Romans. He wasn't blindsided as the chief priests went to plot against him. No, this was the plan all along. Jesus was there. He was ready to lay down his life. That was all the way through John's gospel. He talks about his hour coming, his hour's coming, his hour's coming. He knows that it's coming. He's going to lay down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life. And he rises again. Greatest miracle on earth. Greatest miracle there is. Didn't convince everyone though, did it? Didn't convince everyone. Verse 25. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. See, here's the interesting thing that Jesus makes this point. Like, not everyone believes him. Not everyone follows him, does the greatest miracles on earth. But he does say actually that Jesus' sheep, yeah, he has his sheep, but there's other sheep as well. In fact, everyone is a sheep. The only question is, which shepherd do you belong to? You know, I'm not sure how you feel about being a sheep. Sheep aren't really recognized as being all that intelligent. They're really stereotypically sheep. They just follow the flock blindly. That's kind of what they do. They're famous for being very easily herdable animals. I think like we all like to think that we're independent thinkers, that we all make our own decisions, but we're all our own people. But, just as a bit of an experiment, just grab your phone out. Who's got a phone on you? Grab it out. Yep, show it to the person next to you. Go and do it, pull it out. Why is it that every single phone looks almost exactly the same? You notice that? Every single phone out there is a big black rectangle. Now, why is that? If we're all such independent thinkers, why is it that every single phone is exactly the same? Well, it turns out actually all the phone makers, they're all sheep too, and they've been all following along the same lines. And it turns out that we, the consumers, have been following our shepherds and saying, hey, this is the phone that you need. And it just so happens that they're all exactly more or less the same phone. You know, we're all, like all people, we're all easy to herd. Some researchers did an experiment where they, in a big hall like this, they just told a bunch of 100 people, just walk randomly around, choose your own path, just walk around. But they actually told a bunch of people, no, but you, secretly, you are all going to be heading in one direction. You're going to be working together. Now, what they found was that all you needed was 5% of people to be all about doing the same thing, and eventually the entire flock would follow. Right? 5%. That's all you need. If 5% of people started a trend, doing and walking in a particular way, in a particular direction, eventually the rest of the herd, all 100 people, would follow them. You see, we're all sheep. We all love jumping on a bandwagon. What's important is not your individual opinions or what you think you might be, but who your shepherd is. That's the question. And for Jesus, the good shepherd, he looks at his crowd and he actually accuses them, saying, no, you've been following the wrong shepherd. The Pharisees that he's been having a go at, you know, the religious leaders of the time, they're the people, they're the sheep that have been leading people, they were the shepherds who've been leading the people astray. They are the thieves and robbers who came in to steal and destroy. You know, it gets me wondering, who is your shepherd? Because there's lots of voices and influences out there, shepherds who will lead you astray. You know, you say, in Jesus' time it was the religious leaders, but, I wonder, what is it for us? You know, is this 25-minute Bible talk, is that the only time that you listen to Jesus, your shepherd? Because if that's all there is, then, well, there's a heck of a lot of time in the rest of the week in which you must be listening to some other shepherd. Is it your favorite blog, your TV show, magazine, someone you follow on social media, political commentators? Maybe you're being shepherded by people who are fighting the same social causes that you're interested in. You know, the whole social media world has these people called influencers because they've been recognized. They are the shepherds of the online world. They are the people through whom everyone else follows. There's no mistake that Twitter, Instagram, they call them followers, don't they? So you're being shepherded by someone or something. The only question is, who is your shepherd? Now, if Jesus is your shepherd and you are his sheep, it'd be easy to start kind of getting a little bit like, oh, well, that's a bit insignificant. That's a little bit of a downer. Well, I came across this great quote actually this week from a guy called Alexander the Great, the great, greatest conqueror of the ancient world. Okay, this is what he said. He said, "I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion." Okay, greatest conqueror the world has ever seen says he's afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. See, if you're one of Jesus' sheep, then you're part of the most fearsome army that there has ever been on the face of the earth. In fact, nothing in history has come close to the movement that Christianity is and its longevity and its spread and the fact that it's so multinational. We've got Jesus. We've got the ultimate shepherd, the ultimate lion. You're part of the greatest army that there is. But did you know that Jesus is also appointed under-shepherds underneath him? I'm just going to flash up a few verses just from 1 Peter. I mean, you can turn there if you like. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter's addressing a church. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also share in his glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Peter's description of shepherds, isn't that exactly what Jesus says that he is? As the over-shepherd? And he says, you know, if you're an under-shepherd, be watchful, okay? Do it willingly, not because someone forces you to be there. Don't do it for your own gain, but do it out of service for others. You see, and just as you have a physical family, so you've got spiritual family too. You've got spiritual mums, you've got spiritual dads, right? I mean, this could be anyone. I mean, in our church, it could be, the pastors and the elders, but then it's also the kids. Those who serve in kids and lead kids, those who serve our youth, our young adults, right? Those who are growth group leaders, you're pastoring, you're shepherding your own spiritual children. And it costs you. I know that it costs you because I serve alongside with you in that. And it inconveniences you and it means setting time aside for that. But that's what Jesus did, isn't it? He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, not only does he lay down his life for the sheep, but Jesus knows his sheep. He loves his sheep. He will keep his sheep. Verse 27. This is back in John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, not only do we need to listen to Jesus, you know, even more important than the fact that we know and listen to Jesus, the fact that he knows and he looks after us, that he loves us, that he'll never let you go. Now, Christians over the years have been, wrestling with this stuff about what the Bible says about the fact that Jesus will never let you go. They actually came up with a couple of terms. These are theological terms for those budding theologians. There's a couple of terms. Unconditional election. So you might hear these around the traps. Unconditional election. That's actually God himself, out of his grace, actually chooses. He elects you. Before the beginning of all time, right, before you've done good or bad, he's actually chosen you to be saved. And they talk about the perseverance of the saints, that those that God has saved, he will ensure that you will be there at the end, that you will persevere to the end. That's what Jesus is talking about. You know? See, his Father, God the Father, those that God has elected, he's chosen, he gives them to Jesus. And Jesus protects and guards and nourishes his sheep that they'll be there at the end. Now, people naturally ask the question, well, doesn't that mean, what do you do about falling away? The Bible talks about falling away as well. I've seen friends or know people who have fallen away. Now, you know, I think it's way more complicated than the short time we've got this morning, but, you know, I actually think the short answer is don't. Can people fall away? Don't fall away. Yes, the Bible talks about that, but what you've got to, you hold that in tension with the fact that Jesus says, hey, cling unto the good shepherd, listen to my voice, and you will persevere to the end because I am holding you. I will take you to the end. See, let me tell you, let me try and show you how I think this all lands. Like, that's the kind of big theological abstract stuff, but this is where I think it hits the road. See, I think it actually really affects your present reality, right? This is how this is applied, right? See, if the Good Shepherd is right now tending over your life now, in fact, he knew you even before you existed, right? It's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle creator, right? A jigsaw puzzle creator knows exactly where every single piece goes, right? Now, how much more would God know exactly how much every piece of your life, how it all fits together to put together the glorious picture of your life, the messy picture of your life, the joys, the highs, the lows, right? See, there's a famous psalm, Psalm 23, that talks all about God as our shepherd. The fact that we can, that he knows us, that he cares for us, right? It will appear behind me, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the psalm goes on with this just beautiful picture of what it means that God is shepherding you. See that an all-knowing and all-loving shepherd cares for you, cares for your soul. What have you to fear? Life's going well? Life's going absolutely rubbish? Been through a tragedy recently? You can walk with your shepherd. If your life is a total mess, keep walking through him through the darkest valley because he will lead you home. He will. You might not be able to see the full picture. It looks like a bunch of puzzle pieces thrown up against the wall, but Jesus says he will lead you home. He knows you. He knew you from before eternity, and he knows you for all eternity, and he will keep you for all eternity. So keep following the shepherd. You know, even better than that, I reckon it means that we've got a sure future too. There's going to be a day when Jesus calls all of his sheep out from his pen, out from the graves. He will call them by name, and he knows them all individually, and it's going to be this great, mighty reunion party. You're going to be able to catch up with those friends, those family, those people that you've lost contact with, and you'll be able to catch up. Hey, you ended up in that part of the world. Awesome. Wow, that sounds like you were through a really tough life, but you're here. Great. Awesome. You're going to be surprised by people that you didn't anticipate being there. Tom, didn't expect to see you there. Harry, awesome. That's cool that you're here. And friends, it's going to be those friends, those parents, those other people who died in the faith. They're going to be there. They're going to be waiting for you. Friends, I mean, we've got a daughter that we can't wait to meet there. In a sense, we lost her, but Jesus keeps her. She's not lost forever. She's just gone ahead of us. You know, friends, most of all, you'll get to meet Jesus face to face. He'll know you by name. Dave, Sarah, Aaron, Ben, welcome. Welcome into the green pastures, the eternal pastures, the glorious pastures. You know what? The banquet's being prepared. In fact, it's almost ready. If you head over in that direction, you might even find there's the Christ Central crowd hanging out there. I know you haven't seen them for a while, but they're there. They can't wait to catch up. I got a little bit emotional thinking about this myself this week. Because there is a great future that Jesus says it's an eternal reality. And he will not let you go. You know, friends, if that's not your future, if that's not your reality, you know, say it's time to do business with Jesus, the Good Shepherd. John says, in John's Gospel, he says that whoever believes in the Son shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, this is the eternal life that he is talking about. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be clean. You need a good shepherd who lays down his life for you. And if you've wandered away, then it's Jesus says it's time to return. He will run down the driveway to come and greet you, like the prodigal son. Friends, he laid down his life for broken people like me and you, and he's got an eternity that is waiting for us. You know what? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to thank God for the good shepherd that we have. Let's pray. Father God, you give us a great and refreshing picture, Lord, of our future eternity. Lord, it's all made possible because we have a good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Father, he would face the judgment and the wrath that is due for us, that we might have life, that he knows us, that he loves us, that he will take us by the hand, that he will embrace us on that day and say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." Father, we want to thank you for that sacrifice. We want to thank you for that shepherd. Will you help us to love him, trust him, listen to him? Will you help us to praise him for all that he is and all that he's done for our sake? And Father, we pray that we might rejoice on that day when we can be with all our friends and our family, those in the faith who have trusted and followed the good shepherd. And what a day that'll be. Amen.